Praise God. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor today to bring God's word. I'm so thankful that you came out in the tundra, the God-forsaken land right now. That's what it feels like. 0 degrees. That doesn't even make sense. That's what I watched it. 0 degrees. I told two people this morning, I said, listen, God is in the fire. God is in the wind. God is not in the snow. I don't read that anywhere in God's word. He's not in the 0 degree. God has forsaken us, church. You know I'm playing. But I don't know. When I go outside and my boogers freeze to my nose instantaneously, I feel like, God, where are you? I'm searching for you. I'm probably not going to find you out here. You're probably in my house or you're at the church. So I'm so glad that you're here today. It says, we're two or more gathered. He's in the midst of us. And so he's here today. I'm glad that it is warm today. And it's great to be in God's house. Amen? Amen. Amen. Anybody come expecting a word today? Amen. Now, expectation is wonderful. But did anybody come prepared for a word? Because sometimes we expect a word, but we don't like the word because we weren't prepared for the word, so we don't accept the word and we don't get any better from the word. Like, I expect a word today, but if I don't like it, then I'm going to reject it. See, that we have some disadvantages in America. We have too many choices. We have too many things that we can select from, and it's always about us and what we want, and if we don't like it, we throw it away and we get something new. But sometimes God's got a word for us, and if we like it or not, it's his word. I'm so glad that I'm expecting God's word, but I want to be prepared for his word as well. And I hope that you prepared even this week, and that today is a confirmation of what God has already been saying to your heart. If not, I pray that today be the beginning, and so then later on, as God is speaking to you, that can be a preparation and a confirmation to your heart as well. This month, our new series is titled Better Necessary Endings. Whether we like it or not, endings are part of life. They are woven into the fabric of life itself, both when it goes well and also when it doesn't. Church life has seasons, stages, and phases. For there to be anything new, old things must end. And it can be hard to let go. Growth itself demands that we move on. Without the ability to let go, we stay stuck. Anybody ever been there? Anybody there right now? Some of our behaviors and our destructive patterns and practices can hold us back. Endings are not only part of life, they are a requirement for living and they're a requirement for thriving. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us this. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Church, if you have your Bible app today, please open it to YouVersion and you can open it up, go in the bottom right-hand corner, go to more. Then you're going to see about 5-6 selections. You're going to go to events. Once you find events, find First Church of the Open Bible, our official name. And you can find the notes and you can click save. And you can follow along today. I also want to say thank you for joining us online today. I know that either now or later on, people all over the globe are watching. So thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word is alive and active in your life today as well. And that you came not only expecting, but prepared for God's word today. Or if you're watching this back later on, it feels weird because it's like I'm talking to you in the future. It's going to trip you out later. It doesn't make any sense right now, but it will. And so I'm so glad that you're watching it. You think that the word was for us however long ago when this first aired, but no, the word is for right now as you watch it today, because his word is eternal and it is not bound in time. It is for all time. And so that word is for you as you watch it back. It's for you right now in this season, at this moment, at this hour. So last week, God gave us a message about this season. Anybody here for it last week and we're blessed? Say amen. Amen. Okay, say amen like you mean it. Amen. Amen. There you go. That's a Pentecostal church. I like it. For us to get to a new level, a new tomorrow, or a next step, something has to end. We have to embrace necessary endings so God can bless this season and so God can bless the next season. I've been reading this book from Dr. Henry Cloud. It's titled Necessary Endings. It's really got me thinking and searching biblically for a fresh way to approach my life, a fresh way to approach my responsibilities, a fresh way to approach my ministry calling. It has me on my knees. And this morning, God just says, okay, you're singing about God, giving God everything and about how you need to lay it on the altar. And then all of us are just, sometimes we just sing words and we don't really mean it. I want the conviction. If I'm saying it with my mouth, I better believe it in my heart. So sometimes we just sing words and we're like, it's a nice song. Man, may the conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon you. If you can't sing that with conviction, close your mouth. But God says, man, you are singing a song, but you are not doing in your own heart or even with your own actions. And I just had to lay on that altar. I said, I have to lay that on the altar. Sometimes I don't think we give enough to God on the altar. What does God require us on the altar? Think about it. What does God require of us on the altar? Jesus said something that reminds us of what we're supposed to do. He said, pick up your cross daily and carry it. And what is a cross? It's like an altar. It's where you get sacrificed. It's where you die so God can live. Some things have to die so other things can live. And that's the kingdom principle. Jesus had to die and then come back to life. He rose from the grave. So why? So we can then live. If something didn't die, then we couldn't live. You know, church is no different in your own life. If you don't have something die in your life, then something new can't live. Some of you in the house today, you have way too many things living in you and you're not doing anything great. You look like a hot mess because you are so overwhelmed with so many things that you want to live, and God is saying something has to die so something great, something better can live. I know you came expecting a word, but are you prepared for the word? It's going to be a strong word today. But if you allow it, you will be better. I love what Dr. Henry Cloud says this. He says, quote, "But without the ability to do endings well, we flounder, stay stuck, and fail to reach our goals and our dreams. Or worse, we remain in a painful and sometimes destructive situation. Endings are crucial, but we rarely like them." End quote. Isn't that true? Endings are crucial, but we rarely like them. Why? Well, because sometimes endings are hard and sometimes endings can be painful. Endings can hurt. You know, church, there's a big difference between hurt and harm. I don't know if you're really listening well or if you're scared, but I can feel the tension in the room. As a preacher, God reminds me it's not my job to watch your reactions. It's my job to proclaim God's word. It's up to you and what God will do. It's up to you in allowing the conviction of the Holy Spirit to happen in your life or not. It's not my job. I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink, right? And so I'm going to lead you to the water. Hope you all brought some straws today. I know if I did, it's going to be a real long, curly one because those are fun, or little wiggle straws. I'm not having a regular straw. That's just not me. But isn't that true? Endings are crucial, but we rarely like them. But there's a big difference between hurt and harm. See, in life, I have experienced hurt. But a lot of times, in the end, it turns out to be for my good. God removed something, or I was forced to end something, or cut something off, and it hurt in the moment, but I found out later, it was for my good. The Bible tells me in Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That means all things work together for good. All the painful, the hurtful, the joyful, and the wonderful, all the fulls. They all work together for the good. Now, hurt and harm are not the same thing. Church, pruning will hurt. Pruning will hurt, but if it's done right, it will not be harmful. It'll be helpful. And church, it will be fruitful. Harm is different. See, harm is when you damage someone or you damage something. Facing reality is usually not a damaging experience, even though facing reality can hurt. We all hurt when we face hard truths, but it makes us grow. Isn't that true? Anybody that you really love ever had a strong conversation with you before? Okay, somebody's married that just laughed. Okay. This morning on the way. Okay, cool. Cold outside, but man, it was hot in the car. Okay, I got you. Amen. We all hurt when we face hard truths, but it makes us grow. See, God wants us to stop being offendable, sensitive, unproductive, and frail. I think I need to say that again. See, God wants us to stop being so offendable, so sensitive, and so unproductive, and so frail. God has something better. Many of the hurts you're going to walk through in life are not harmful. God wants to grow you, so you need to be prepared. And you need to be humble enough to say this: God, have your way, prune me. Amen? Here's a reality. Everyone, everywhere, for all of time, needs to prune something in their life. Anybody has somebody? Amen. And guess what? It's going to hurt. But it will not be harmful. Church, it'll be for your good. So is anybody in here this morning by a show of hands that can say, I'm good at gardening? Raise your hand. Okay. All right, put your hand down. Anybody really, really bad? You don't have a green thumb. You got like two double brown thumbs. All right, put your hand up. Okay. Amen. That's good. Good thing we're not 100 years ago, because everybody just raised their hand. You are now dead. You're officially dead. Unless you have a bunch of cattle and you can trade, we'll miss you. That's good, man. We have quite a few people that can say, I'm good at gardening. I think you can agree, everybody, good or bad at gardening, you can agree on this. Good gardeners know how to prune. Okay, people live now. Okay, that's good. There you are. Found you. That's good. Certainly, there's a talent behind the art of pruning, but there is also a method behind gardening as well. People who are not good gardeners, you know, I wouldn't say I'm good, I wouldn't say I'm great. I could learn, I could be better, but I don't like kill everything I touch. But people who are not good gardeners, they watch good gardeners at work, and they probably think this, man, they are pruning too much. Right, my father-in-law, like, he's 6'4", and we call him the lawn gnome, like the tallest lawn gnome you ever seen, right? I remember back in the day, he's just going to town on my bushes. I'm like, what are you doing? I could have mowed that over, right? Like, what are you doing? You're doing too much. We think, man, those good pruners, I don't know what they're doing. Those good gardeners, they're cutting too far. I think they're going to kill the plant. You ever thought that before? You ever seen that before? You're like, oh my goodness. But in reality, there's a method behind good pruning. See, sometimes in life, you think everything has been cut back too far. There is nothing left. It is all lost. I'm cut too far down. But sure enough, the next season comes and something new blooms. And guess what? It grew back even better than before. See, a good gardener intentionally and purposely cuts off and prunes branches that fall into these three categories. Church, say three. Number one is this: good branches that are not the best ones. A good gardener purposely cuts off and prunes good branches that are not the best ones. Number two, they cut off sick and diseased branches that are not going to get well. And the third one is this: dead branches that are taking up space needed for the healthy ones. Amen. Each plant only has enough life and resources to feed and nurture a certain number of branches. There are only enough resources to bring the plant to its full potential. Every branch on the plant cannot and will not produce its full bloom. So in order for a plant to thrive, a certain number of branches must go. When necessary pruning takes place, the gardener frees the needed resources to the plant so it can get the greatest potential and the greatest production from each branch. See, this is what the gardener knows. Without proper pruning, the plant will never reach its fullness. I hope y'all know where I'm going with this. Anybody ever been pruned by the Lord before? If you didn't raise your hand, you would lie. Because listen, if you still act and treat and think the same way you did from day one, accepting Christ, then you've never been pruned. Which means you probably have never had a real experience with God. You've never listened to his word and you've never followed his leading, because God prunes. That's a fact. Now, without necessary endings, you will not get the best fruit. Pruning is a process of proactive endings, and you need to be proactive to be productive. Now, pruning is not a punishment for a Christian. It's a reward. Spiritual pruning enhances spiritual growth by removing whatever it is that's in the way of our spiritual growth. Now, our spiritual life right now is in either of these three seasons with God. We are all in one of these three seasons. Number one is this. We might be in this season. You're settling for good instead of the best. Each plant produces more buds and more fruit than the plant can sustain. The plant, or our spiritual life, only has enough resources to feed and nurture a certain number of branches fully. In order to have an opportunity to thrive, the good has to go and the best has to stay. If proper pruning takes place, the gardener frees those needed resources to the branches with the greatest potential to see a maturing of fruitfulness and a beautiful production. Church, the good has to go to make way for the best. Number two, you might be in a season spiritually that says this: we are nurturing the sick and the diseased branches, and it's killing the overall production of the plant. We keep monitoring, which means that we're giving time. We keep watering, giving more chances. We keep fertilizing. We keep pouring in our resources to try to give these branches more care to make them healthy. But at some point, church, at some point, you have to realize this diseased branch is killing and bringing down everything around it. How often do we nurture sin in our life? we have to realize that this diseased section of our life, this branch or these branches are not going to recover no matter how hard we try to bring it back to life. Why? Because these branches, we're starting to lose the final picture of what we want this plant to look like and what we want this plant to produce. Church, it's time to prune. Once these sick branches are gone, the plant or our spiritual life has more fuel and resources to pour into healthy branches. The plant is now fully on mission, focusing its energy on feeding and growing to reach mature fullness, mature fruitfulness, and noticeable beauty. Sometimes I look back in my life as being a believer, and I walk into a situation with a bunch of non-believers, and I didn't realize that I wasn't beautiful. I'm not talking about physical. Beautiful in that room, displaying all that God had in store. I walked in with diseased plants. I walked in with diseased branches. I walked in with some nasty stuff. I chose good instead of better. I didn't allow God in a certain sections of my life, certain areas of my life, certain seasons of my life. I did not allow God to bring me to full maturity and fruitfulness and noticeable beauty. In just a little bit, I'm going to explain that even more. Here's a third season that you might be in spiritually. It's a season of dead branches that are taking up space needed for healthy ones. Dead things are taking up the space that should be available for the healthy branches. These healthy branches need to spread out and grow so they can reach their full potential. But for some reason, we keep these dead things around and they keep obstructing. And when we take a step back and we look at the plant, we can see what needs to go. I can see that. But for some reason, the gardener has not chose to cut these dead things out yet. So what happens? That plant, that spiritual life, that person, that opportunity, it grows very slowly and it has a very hard time producing any fruit at all. The dead must go to make room for the healthy to grow. Fruitfulness and beauty will not only be obtained. The only opportunity it will be obtained is when dead things are cut away. You cannot produce fruit when you're surrounded by dead things. You know, God wants to do in you great things. He wants to do it in you, through you. He wants to teach you and train you to be kind and gentle. He wants to teach you and train you to be peaceful and patient. He wants to train you and teach you by loving and forgiving like He does. But you cannot develop that kind of fruit on your own. You cannot develop that fruit on your own. You need the true vine. And church, you need to prune. Now, pruning enables every life to realize its full potential. Without pruning, we stay average at best. Anybody say, you know what? I want to live my life just okay. I want to be average at best. I want to be a C student only. I want to just get by in life. I'm okay with just being okay. Now, if that is your mentality, I want you to know you're not following God's word for your life. You do not realize what God has truly done for you. You do not realize the potential that lies within you. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is the same Spirit in you. And that was not average or okay. That was way better. Somebody in here believes a lie. Your family has told you you will never be anything. Somebody, this word is for you. Your family told you you're not going to be much. You got issues, you got problems, and you're never going to be much. I break that curse in Jesus' name. That is a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are going to be something. You are going to be somebody with somebody. His name is Jesus. He came and broke all curses. He broke all those words. And what you believe in your life right now, God is going to cut it out in 2025. And you are going to be pruned. God is going to prune your life so you can be fruitful and you can be beautiful unto the Lord. Whoever that was for, or somebody or somebody's, you need to grab that word. You need to believe that word and you need to walk in that word. Here's another thing. You got to stop saying with your own mouth curses about your own life. You got it. Huh. Your mouth, it says that your mouth has the power to cut down or build up. Right? It's either life or death. And we think that's just talking to other people when we're mad. We're frustrated. We're just going to tell them. You know, by the way, when you get mad and you just say a bunch of stuff that's on your mind, it's as if you were sick and you puked, and all of a sudden you feel better. But that other person, they're covered in your vomit. And you just walk away going, hey, let's move on, brother. Everything's great. You know what? You need to go clean up. But sometimes we think that our mouth, it builds up and tears down, is only for other people, but you do it to yourself as well. You've said so many horrible and hurtful things to you. You have said it in your mind. You've said it out loud. It's time to break the curse. What does God think about you? What does God say over you? Some of you who have believed this lie and you have walked in this lie, you need to start speaking, not just believing, not just thinking, but speaking and proclaiming and breaking off these things in your life by speaking God's truth and His word. You need to start proclaiming God's truth. You know what sometimes I do when I get down on myself or I'm frustrated with myself, and then I start going down this pity party trail. I'm stepping away from the pulpit because I don't know if this is pulpit material. This is what I tell myself. I literally say this. Shut up. Like be quiet, right? You know, that's a more churchy word. That doesn't cut it. No, shut up. Stop talking like that. You are destroying. Ooh, poor you, poor you. Dude, what did Jesus have to go through? Get over yourself, get up, and move forward, right? You got to be better. Stop going down this, oh, I'm so sensitive and I'm so hurt all the time. Nobody likes being around people like that, by the way. If that's you today, you better change it around. The reason why you don't have friends is because you're a drag. You wear us out, right? It's okay to have a hard season and have people lift you up, but if that's all the season that you ever want to live in and you never want to be cut and pruned and be better, guess what? We don't want you around because you don't believe it. You don't believe what God died for. If you're coming to the altar every single week for the same problem, guess what? Stop coming to the altar. It's not working. You know why it's not working? Not because the altar isn't a place to get altered. It's because you don't really want that to be better. You don't. You want to live in it. Oh, and you probably won't see people come. You want to say, hey, man, if I go up there, I know people lay hands on me and they'll ask me what's going on and I'll get some attention. That's the wrong attention you need. Okay? We got to cut some stuff out. We got to be more mature. We got to grow in the Lord. If you've known God more than a year, you got to start being mature, right? So many believers have been walking with God for so long, and you haven't even cut your teeth. You could care less about meat. All you want is milk all the time. It's time to grow up. Like I said last week, there's a time where you step out of being an infant and you step into being a toddler. And sometimes there's a time where you have a new season where you stop being childish and you start growing into adulthood. And then there's even a time where you're in adulthood where you grow into maturity in adulthood. Well, that ain't never going to happen. Bad sentence, but it felt good. That ain't never going to happen If you don't allow God to prune you, if you don't allow God to cut something out so something new can grow. All right, where am I at? Oh yeah, without pruning, we stay average at best. We become something far less than we were created to be. Think about this. Just think about this. Now, I grew up in Oregon, born and raised. I know a lot of you know that. But one thing I love about Oregon is its beauty. Its politics are horrific, okay? I don't even know how the West Coast is surviving. Anyway, so that's for real. You forsaking God, and then all of a sudden you're like calling out to him. Fix things. No, fix your heart, and then we'll fix things, right? That's what fixed things. It's not politics, it's the heart. And the heart will then go into politics. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. It's a whole nother thing, but let me talk to you real quick. And one thing about Oregon, that everything is so lush, beautiful. It rains about 9 months out of the year, so the other 3 months in summer are absolutely amazing, beautiful. And when I go back home and I visit, it blows me away with what I see. Man, I drove to high school, and in front of me was a mountain, okay? Iowa people, I'm not talking about hills. You're like, oh, that's a mountain. That's like 300 feet tall. That's not a mountain. Look at the mountain. I was like, man, please. But no, a mountain. It has snow caps. It's Mount Hood. It's right there in front of me as I drive to school, and as I drive home, it's in my rear view mirror. And then I go back home and I'm like, look at that. There's a mountain right there. That's amazing. Like, we forget about God's beauty. And then I go back and everything is plush. Everything is beautiful. Everything is growing incredible. And then you know the neighbors that really spend time on their lawn, and then you know the other neighbors that don't, right? Y'all still have people like that? There's something beautiful about the creation that God made when we tend to it. What's one of the first things ever spoken about in the entire Bible for mankind to do? Is to tend. To have dominion, right? That's not to lord over. That's to protect. That is to pour into. That is to prune. When I go back and I look at things in Oregon, it reminds me that everything God ever created was never intended to be average. By nature, there's nothing average about a fig tree, a grapevine, a fruit-producing plant, a rhododendron, an amazing rose bush. There's nothing average about it. They are designed by God to produce lushness. But if not properly pruned, they will never make it. And a lot of times they overgrow and they suffocate, come on, the other trees and bushes around them. They choke them out. Church, we are no different. God has designed us to produce lushness in our life. In 2025, here is my prayer today. It was last week. It's that you allow the heavenly gardener to prune your life. My prayer is that you let him have access to all of your branches, the good, the sick, and the dead. You need to connect to the true vine, and you need to bear fruit. So I want to ask you, so when you look at your life right now with God, what do you see? This is not to condemn, but this is to hurt, not to harm. When you look at your life with God right now, honestly, what do you see? Think about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Self-reflect for a moment. What do you see with God? One of the easiest ways you can tell how your relationship is with God is you can see how your relationship is with the other people. You hear me? Oh, I love God, but I hate all people. Well, then you don't really love God. Oh, I love God, but I don't get along with anybody. Well, then you don't truly love God. That doesn't make any sense. He is love, and who does he love? And we're supposed to love like Jesus, and we're supposed to be the greatest servants of all because Jesus was the greatest servant of all, and he loved, and he gave compassion and mercy and grace, and then you're like, well, I don't do that. Well, then you're not following God, so you're not truly loving God, and you're not following his commandments. Jesus said, you will love me by following my commandments. Well, I love God, but all the relationships are a mess. Well, then you need to love God. Say it, church. True. And there's only really one way you can love him better is if you allow him to prune your life. Now, when you look at your life, do you see good or do you see great? Do you see sickness and disease, or do you see a healthy level of godly fruit? Or looking at your life in this season, do you notice some apparent dead branches that must go? I want you to ask yourself, do I want a vibrant and fruitful spirit-led life? Do I truly want to be better? Now, Jesus does something crazy. Anybody love it when Jesus does crazy things in the Bible, right? You're like, that's crazy. I got to figure out why he did that crazy thing. Like, what does that mean? Here's a really good one. Okay, so Jesus is walking into Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21, and he does something crazy, and then he just moves on, and you're like, why did he do that? I'd search and kind of find out why he did it. So Matthew 21, 18 and 19, it says, in the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry, and he noticed a fig tree beside the road. Come on now. He went over to see if there were any figs, but there was only leaves. He then said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And the other trees are like, look at that guy, right? And immediately the fig tree withered up. I think in another scripture that talks about the same story, because eyewitnesses are writing down, I think it says it even dies from the roots up. Now, what? The cursing of this fig this fruit-bearing fig tree is symbolic, and here's the symbolism in it. There's multiple reasons and thoughts, but here's the major one that I see in this one as I was studying this week. First, the fig tree in the Old Testament is a symbol for Israel, God's people. Now, this curse was symbolic because it was an act against the Jews who are going to reject Jesus as their Messiah. Also, it was foreshadowing the judgment of God's people because of their fruitlessness. Today, this meaning is still valid for all followers of Jesus, and here's what it says. The fruit-bearing tree had leaves at Passover, looking like they were producing, but it was not bearing fruit. This is the warning to the ones that pretend to have fruit, but really, we only have leaves. Anybody ever done that on a Sunday morning before? Maybe not understand. We put on a facade. We play church. We're not the church. We love God on the outside, but we don't love him on the inside. We don't have actual fruit in our life, and we pretend we do, but in reality, all we do is have leaves. Jesus says this a few chapters before in Matthew 7. He says this, 16 through 20, he says, you can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way that they act. Come on. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So as much, if you're producing bad fruit in your life and you think you're a good tree, boom, you're welcome, pruned. Next, 19. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. I love verse 20. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. I love Jesus, but I curse my neighbors. Forgive me, Father, for every time I've ever done that. God really rocked my heart this week, church. I've relied way too much on people and not enough on Him. And I get mad at people for doing me dirty and doing me wrong and hurting me over and over again. It just happens. It's just part of life, right? I love God, love people. And you deal with God, He never hurts me. And people always hurt. You know, it's just the way it goes. That's life. Prune. Okay. But God always brings me back to the cross. And He says, how can you judge when you have done these things? How can you have unforgiveness when you have these things? How can you hurt and talk to them like this when you have these things? Prune. I am the only true vine. I am your only source. And the reason why you have sick, diseased branches in your life is because you have a different source. Yes. The reason why you have dead things is, and it's a lot of things, is because you have no source. Prune. But God, I will be known, and we will be known, and we'll be identified by our actions. Coming to a close. I hope we can all now agree that we're called to prune. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Jesus calls us to us, calls us to it, and a Spirit-led life leads us to it. The old things must go so the new things can begin. You cannot produce what God expects with dead branches, diseased branches, or only good branches. God says there's better. God always prunes for the best. So here's your question for today. This is what it all hangs on. Like, okay, Pastor, I get it. I got to prune. I get it. Understand. I understand. But here's the thing. I love Habakkuk 2:2. It's a verse I go back to all the time. It says if you have to, as a leader, or you have to, as it's God's word, is you have to make the vision plain. Make it plain. Why? So people can grab it and they can run. If you don't make it plain, they won't understand it and they won't know where to go, or they might run in the wrong direction. Make the vision plain. Write it down. Make it plain. I wrote it down, and now I'm going to say it, and hopefully you're writing it down too. So the people can run with it. Here is the defining question that must be answered before you can prune anything in your life. Here is the question. What is the purpose, or what is the goal that you are pruning toward? So what are you pruning toward? I want to be closer to God. Okay. How? In what ways? What will you do to get there? What's it going to look like, and how are you going to start? Oh, I just want to be closer to God, brother. I want to read more of His word. Okay, for what purpose? What are you pruning toward? What is the goal here? Well, I just want to spend more time with God. Okay, great. I just want to listen to more worship music and get rid of the demonic music of the world. Okay, good. What is the purpose? What are you trying to get toward? What is your goal? Right? What do you want that bush, that tree, that fruit-bearing, whatever it is, plant, what do you want it to look like? What do you want your spiritual life to look like? Because if you don't know that, church, you'll have no way to understand where to start pruning, how to prune, or where you're going. God gave me this word this morning in my office. You cannot ask God for something specific when you only give God something that is general. Come on now. Listen. Man, I love those truth bombs. Like, boom! That was like a little missile, more like. It was like, right? Not a bomb. Like, it was, right? It just hit right where it needed to. You cannot ask God for something specific, or you have to stop asking God for something specific when you only give God what is general. Ooh. I think I loved it more than you. I don't know. That was so good for me. I was like, come on now. Step one in pruning is this: naming the standard, name the purpose, name the goal you're pruning toward. And without clarity, without vision, without making it plain, you will not know where to go. You won't have a goal. You won't know where to prune. You won't know how to prune. You will never even know what it's supposed to look like. What is that supposed to look like? So before we leave today, I want to read you a section of scripture. I want to show you what godly fruit looks like and what godly fruit doesn't look like. Many of you have read this before, but I pray it's in a new light. Listen, God tells us what it's not supposed to look like, or maybe what it's looking like right now, and then what it's supposed to look like. It's in Galatians 5, 19 through 23. In the NLT, it says this: when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, and division. Verse 21 says, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. And then it goes on to say this: let me tell you again. Which means he's told us before. Let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. I love the buts in the word. Here's a big but right here. Number 22. If you laugh, what I just said, I'm just joking. I kind of set you up. Some of you are like, Verse 22. This is a big but right here. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and everybody's favorite, self-control. There is no law against these things. See, here's what a life pruned for the Lord looks like. It produces the fruits of the Spirit and not the fruits of the flesh. A pruned life fears God and it does not fear men. It loves God and not the pleasures of the world. It believes God and his word and not the deceiver. When a life is pruned for Jesus, we obey his commands and not our appetites. We serve God and not ourselves, and we worship God and not our comfort and not our religion. Pruning isn't just for the future increase of fruit production. See, pruning is also for improving the fruit quality as well. Church, when God prunes, he doesn't just give you more fruit, he gives you better fruit. He gives you the best fruit. And sometimes you go, man, but all this stuff is cut away and I'm not producing as much. But what you're producing is 10 times better than what you did. Come on now. That's good. That's the God we serve. So I'm going to close with asking these three questions to you right now. Right now, what is the goal you should be pruning toward? If you don't know that, you have nothing. You can go nowhere. You have no direction. What is the goal you should be pruning toward? Let me give you a cheat code, okay? Anybody like cheat code, right? Video games, you get a cheat code, and it's like, you know, 99 lives, woo! Okay. The only place you're going to find what your life should be headed toward is found in God's word. If you have any other goals outside of that, it's not going to be a godly goal, and it won't produce what God has for you in fruit. Oh, but God's blessing me and great things are happening. But did God say that's what you're supposed to be doing? Maybe you've chosen good when God has better. Maybe you've chosen good when God says, I want the great. Here's another question. How can you prune toward a vibrant, fruitful Christian life in 2025. Here's another cheat code. You actually will not if you don't serve. We have done you an injustice at church. I'm going here. We have done you an injustice at church. We have allowed you to sit down and soak and never serve. And Jesus said, he's the greatest servant of all. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So why do we think we shouldn't serve? What in our mind says that it's all about me? If you came here just for you, you have lost the meaning of church. You've lost the meaning while we gather together. If you're not serving, how are you serving God? I'm not saying you have to serve here, but you have to serve somewhere. Your life should be a life of servanthood. If it is not, you are not acting like Jesus. And if you're not acting like Jesus, are you a Christian? Oh, now you're messing with what I believe. Right? Confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead and you shall be saved. Amen. But that's not all the Bible says. What did Jesus say to every single person when he saw them? He said, come and follow me. Who are you following? Prune, come on now. And maybe you can't follow him because you're too weighed down. Come on. By the things of life that are diseased and they're dead and maybe they're good. And you have to prune to free your feet to get to moving in the right direction. God, you got to release me from this religion. Release me from my own pleasures. Release me from my own dreams and my own goals. And release me from these things and the things that the world says and America says I need to have. Release me. Because I got to follow you. And the only way I'm going to follow you is I become a servant. But I'm tired of serving myself. It's time to serve you. King Jesus. Lord of all. King Jesus. He's the king. Ooh. Get off the throne. Get in your rightful place at his feet. Come on now. Get off your throne and get at the rightful place at his feet. Worshiping with the elders, worshiping with the seraphim, worshiping with all the angels and all the ones that have gone before us, worshiping. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world. Worthy is King Jesus. I will do whatever, whenever, however you want, God. Prune me. Prune me. Prune me. Oh, but Pastor, it hurts, but it's not harmful. Brent, can you please come? Galatians 6, 7 and 9. So it's just one more chapter over. Listen to this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You can't trick God. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh will... the flesh reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Come on now. Let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If you are feeling like you're going to give up today, I want to tell you there's hope in Jesus. You don't have to give up. Here's what you have to give up. Give up striving so hard on your own and give it to the King. He can carry it. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. His shoulders are much stronger than yours. He can carry it. He carries the weight of every person for all of eternity on his shoulders. He is the good shepherd. He is the counselor. The government is on his shoulders. He can do it all. You stop striving and give it to the Lord. Have hope in Jesus today. Let him cut that out. Cut it out. I love this right here. No matter the reason, excuse, or fear, there is no good reason for waiting to do something that should be done now. I'll say it again. No matter the reason, I feel it. You're human. I get it. God calls us sheep for a reason, church. Okay. Bad. I'm right there. Come on now. Yeah, you're a bad boy. Okay. That's like Aladdin or something. I don't know. Now I'm dating myself. Okay, moving on. So, no matter the reason, no matter the excuse, no matter the fear that you have right now, there is no good reason for waiting to do something that should be done now. You cannot wait. The Bible says you're not promised tomorrow. Okay, Pastor, what do I need to give up? I just wrote this simple. Anything that hinders your relationship with God from growing or producing. What do I got to give God? It's anything that hinders your relationship with God from growing or your relationship with God from producing. Anything. And church, all things. Prayer teams, will you come to the front here? I just want to say this. It's time to prune. It's time to be better. Don't give up. Start pruning. I was listening to the Holy Spirit this morning. Somebody brought me something here today. And I didn't know where it was going to fit. I didn't understand what God was going to do with it. Thank you. But I think God wants us to hit some people over the head with this today. I'm playing. Pop! Bunny foo-foo! Running through that forest. Just choking. Welcome to my head, church. Welcome to my... Linda, don't you get too close to me right now. So, for the longest time I said, I'm not going to blow a shofar in the church until I teach on it. Because when we do things in church and we don't tell people what it's about, the Bible says it can cause confusion. It's like speaking with other tongues with no interpretation in a corporate setting. It causes confusion. It's not of God. Right? You can do that on your own. That's fine. Blow this all day. Like be in your car. If you want to. You look like a weirdo, but if God says do it, be a weirdo. We love it. I love weirdos that follow Jesus. I'm one of those. So, but this shofar has many meanings, okay? A shofar was used in the Old Testament frequently. And a lot of times it was done as they would blow it, and it would be about entering into war, entering into a battle. But that's not the only meaning that it had. It also represented freedom. It also represented celebration. It also represented that something has been defeated. Come on. I feel like whoosh off. I'm a shepherd and I don't have a staff right now, so I'm just flowing with this thing. Now, I haven't blown a shofar for years, and I haven't played trumpet since I was in ninth grade, so we're gonna see how this goes. Church, will you stand with me? This is what we're gonna do. Before we worship and before we ask God to prune us, I'm gonna do my very best to blow this the best that I can. I'm going to try to do it once. Unless I feel the leading of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it again. What this is going to represent, you're like, this is weird. Well, if it's biblical, I don't care. If it's not biblical, then I do care. But if it's biblical, then I'm going to do it. And even if it's weird, right? It's biblical. So in church, I'm going to blow this. But before I do that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to present something to God that he must prune. I want freedom in this, God. I want freedom in this. Right? I want freedom. It's dead. And I keep carrying it around and it's choking out all the things that want to live in my life. It's dead. Or it's diseased. It's sick. And I keep nurturing this as if it's going to come back. And God says, well, if it's not going to die, I need you to kill it. Because it's sucking the life out of all the other things that are going on in your life. Or it's good. Like I got some really good stuff with God in my life. But I want great. I want better. I want what God has. All that God has for me. All of it. Whatever that is. Here it is, Lord. Here it is. Prune me. So when I blow this, I'm believing in the spiritual realm, there's a victory, there's a falling off, there's a cutting, there's a pruning, there's a victory. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Feel free to just spread out right now. I want you just to spend a moment with the Lord. We're going to go here in a second. I know some of you are really rushing out there to get to the 0-degree weather, so can't wait to get out there. Feel free, spread out if you want to spread out. If you got to go somewhere, nobody's going to steal your stuff, right? Man, if you steal something at church, there's another level. There's another level you're living in. Conviction of the Holy Ghost. I pray you get it. You get a tire that blows and the cop pulls over and he finds it. And that's what I find. Make the place you're at right now an altar. Just you and him. Just you and him. He's the true vine. He's the good gardener. And I want you just to present it to him now, whatever that is right now. And here in a moment, I'm going to blow this the best I can. I didn't even practice. We're going to ask God for a victory. We need you, Lord. I want your fruit. It says in your word, it says it's the fruit that remains. It's not just for now. It's not just for a little bit. It's the fruit that remains. I don't want just good fruit. I want great fruit. I want the best fruit. I want everything you have for me. Prune me, God. As your son, one of my favorites that you ever created, your son David, he says, search me, O God, and find any wicked way that's in me. Search me, O God, and find any dead thing in me. Search me, O God, and find anything that's diseased in me. Search me, O God, when I'm settling for good or okay, when I can have the best. Search me, O God. And today, cutting it off, and we're throwing it in the fire. We love you. Victory.